This is Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdel-Qaddous, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoga Richin, Frank Lopez, Jenny Hughes, Mike DeFilippo, Nick Marsilio, our engineers. Special thanks to Daniel Strandberg-Peshkin, Megan Whitney. Our website, democracynow.org. Happy birthday to Elizabeth Press. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Democracy Now!
And in just a moment, another edition of Off the Wall here on WUSP Stony Brook. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this delightful Tuesday evening. Still afternoon outside, but 6 o'clock, technically it's evening. And technically it's a sauna in here, too. I guess summer has arrived inside the buildings here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. I'm not supposed to talk about the temperature inside, but boy, it's pretty tropical. An important appeal. Since I was here last time, it looks like the tally has gone down. I don't think that's possible, but we really need more phone calls. We only have 2 more weeks of the fundraiser to go. And we're in serious jeopardy of not reaching our goals. So I know there are people out there who can help the situation. Doesn't matter when you call in. Well, I guess if you call in at 3 in the morning, it might be kind of hard for somebody to take a pledge then. But if you're listening during peak hours, which is now, and other times during the day and night, please give a call to 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. Pledge whatever you can afford to keep the station going. Because without this station, there's a whole lot we can't do. And all sorts of progress is being made. Guess what's here now? This is really good news. We have a delay machine. We have a delay machine. That means that we can take phone calls again. Isn't that something? Because the FCC instills the fear of the Lord into us, and while they may trust me with what I say live, we don't know who you are. And the FCC says we cannot trust you, so we must use delay. I know it sucks. I'm not into it myself, but it's a necessary thing, and it allows us to communicate with the audience once more on a live basis. Now, during the fundraiser, of course, since we're using the same phone lines to get incoming calls to raise money, we can't take phone calls, obviously, because we don't have that many phone lines to separate the two. But once the fundraiser is over, we'll be going right back to having a call-in section on this program, and I think that's pretty cool. What I'm going to do now, though, I'm going to take this thing out for a spin, as it were, and I'm going to... This might sound a bit more amateurish than you're used to for this program. I know we pretty much define the limits as it is. But I'm going to put myself into delay and see how I sound. And then I'm going to try and bleep myself, too, at some point. Okay, so in order to do this, you're going to hear a few seconds of silence. I know there's a way of doing this where you don't hear silence, but right now I've just met this thing, and it's the only way I know how to do it. But you have the music to keep you company while I'm playing around with this. Okay, so the thing is on. Let me turn it up. Okay, there's nothing there now. Can we cut the music for a second? Yeah, there's nothing. Nothing there. Just the sound of the fan in the background. The fan is doing no good at all. Okay, music's back. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go over to the other channel. And that means that I'll pop up in about 7 seconds. With something else to say entirely. And I'll be hearing myself in 7 seconds, and confusing myself too, because I'll be hearing my voice as I'm talking. And oh my goodness, this is really hard to do. Because I don't know which one of me to listen to. And that worked like a charm. Isn't that something? Yes. Okay, it sounds a little low, I think. I don't quite get the resonance. Let's do this. I'm going to go back over to Delay World. And here I am in Delay World. I'm going to ask that the music be cut. And I guess the music got cut before I asked, because I did that live. Here's my voice live. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back from Delay.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
And compare my voice. Yeah, I don't think it sounds as good. I don't think it sounds... We need to do some adjustments on this thing. Because we got, top-of-the-line stereo equipment here that is supposed to be able to do music and everything. So my voice should sound as nice and dynamic as it always does. But at least we have something. At least we have something that works. And we'll make it work better and be as professional as we possibly can be here. Okay, so there is progress. There is progress. That's why you should call 631-632-9872 and pledge whatever you can afford. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express. We even take Discover. And that's quite a sacrifice for us to do that, because nobody else does. We have WUSB mugs and hats and T-shirts and sweatshirts. We have all sorts of CDs. We have the Democracy Now! Premiums we were talking about last week. Coffee mugs, coffee grinds even. T-shirts of all sorts. Just a whole bunch of things in there. And we have volunteers standing by to take your phone call. 631-632-9872. Those of you who prefer to call toll-free and save the dime, however much it actually costs, 1-800-394-WUSB. That's our phone number. That's the lifeline to keep the station on the air, to keep the programming coming your way, because we depend on our listeners for that. Okay, so what we Well, we have tonight all kinds of things to update people on, including a lot of listener mail, which we're going to be getting to as well. I had a very interesting experience. This was possibly one of those experiences that changes you in your life. Well, actually, I had a couple of those this week, didn't I? I was in New York City, and this was last week. This was last week when the story had not yet quite reached the fever pitch that it eventually got to. I'm sure you've all heard about Molly the Cat by now. And those of you who haven't, you're probably not paying attention. But Molly the Cat was this, or still is, this feline who somehow got herself stuck behind a wall on Hudson Street in New York City. Now, cats do this kind of thing all the time. If a space is big enough for a cat's head to fit through, the whole rest of the cat can get through it as well. But the cat can't necessarily get back out. And that's what happened in this case. The cat was stuck between two buildings. I think the crevice was something like 6 inches wide. And apart from that, the cat then went through some kind of a hole in the wall, and nobody knew where the cat was, just heard the meows. I went down there last Wednesday night, about 3 in the morning. Just wanted to see, you know, are there actually people here trying to get this cat out at 3 in the morning? Maybe I can hear where the cat is. You know, I didn't really expect to see anything or to be able to help in any way. But as it turns out, there actually were people there. There actually were people there in the middle of the night, standing vigil over a trapped cat inside a wall. There was a Channel 5 Fox News van. I kid you not, parked there at 3 in the morning. And there were two people actually crouched down by the building. And I went up to them and said, so any progress here? I said, well, we can hear the cat. We can hear the cat meowing. And I got down with them and pressed my head up against the wall, and sure enough, you could hear the cat meowing. It was the saddest thing. You heard this cat meowing coming from someplace inside a wall. And so we were trying to pinpoint where this cat actually was, and we all reached a determination that the cat wasn't where everybody was saying it was, which was in the wall of this deli, this British deli, which is where the cat came from, but rather behind the wall of the neighboring bar. Yeah, so either there was some amazing network of tunnels inside there, or people were just mistaken as to where to be looking for him in the first place, or her, rather. And so we tried various things. We tried, coaxing her in various ways, and she'd respond. You know, you'd call out her name, and you'd hear meow, and that went on for a little while. And there were periods of silence. And keep in mind, this cat had been stuck in there for over 2 weeks at this point. Can you imagine being stuck inside a wall for 2 weeks? So, yeah, the cat sounded, a bit upset, but strong. And that was a positive thing. You know, we all feared the worst, but hearing the sound of that cat's meow, it sounded like it was angry enough to still be strong. We didn't know how much room she had to move around. We didn't know anything like that. But we were trying. We were trying all sorts of methods. This one lady was there. She was obviously a cat person. She had cat buttons. You have to go pretty far to find buttons, you know, that say that you're a cat person. But she had these, and apparently she had a whole lot of cats, too. And well, that's great. That's great. I mean, you know, people are into cats, and this is the time when we need people who are into cats to get them out of trapped walls or get them from behind the walls they're trapped in. The other guy, turns out, was a New York Post reporter. Now, unlike the people in the Channel 5 van, this guy was actually trying to do something. Yeah, the New York Post apparently gets involved in the news as well as reporting it. This guy was actually sticking a long cloth into this hole, thinking that the cat might grab onto the cloth, and then we'd be able to find out at least where the cat is, if not drag the cat out by the cloth. And so he was trying that, and I was helping. I found this long stick where we could sort of push the cloth into a hole deeper down into the wall, because none of us obviously could fit into a 6-inch crevice. And so we did that for a couple hours, and the sun started to come up, and the Channel 5 news people awoke from their slumber and started to report the weather. This is what we need, you know. Some idiot standing there telling people it's going to be, you know, cloudy today or whatever, not really caring at all about what's going on behind him. Occasionally, you know, asking questions, not on the air, asking questions in between breaks, saying, so, you hear the cat? And we say, yeah, we heard the cat. And, of course, he'd report on the air, and I just heard the cat a few minutes ago, you know, completely uninterested in the story. but reporting it as if he's actually taking part in it. And that's TV. That's how TV works. I've been involved with a lot of reporters over the years, and the ones who are the least sincere are the TV reporters. Just no question about that. They even say it themselves. They're proud of this. It's part of the job. You report one story, you move on to the next, you forget about the first. There are exceptions, but they're pretty uncommon. Now, the Post guy seemed to actually be getting into it. He wasn't too happy about being stationed there at 3 in the morning or 5 in the morning, whatever time it was. But he was making the best of it and trying to help out. These guys, well, you know, I got to say, though, even though they didn't really care, they did bring attention to this, and that's important. Because the whole city knew about this. It's really kind of wacky. The whole city knew about Molly the Cat. Stuck behind that wall on Hudson Street. And I was one of two people who weren't reporters at the time who was actually there trying to find the cat, trying to help the cat. And as you probably heard, it took a few more days, but they eventually got Molly out, and everybody was so happy. I remember I was driving in my car, and I actually was listening to the news just to hear the latest on Molly. It was incredible. You could get Molly reports from just about every radio station around. Yeah, try finding something really important that's going on. It's impossible. But every 10 minutes, you'd hear the latest on the stuck cat. And so, when I was driving around, I believe it was on Saturday morning, and I heard that Molly had been rescued. I was so happy. I was incredibly happy. And then, right away afterwards, the next news story is more Marines killed in Iraq, and I turned the radio down. After I did that, I asked myself, my God, what have I become? I've become hardened to the news. I don't want to hear about all the crap that's going on around the world. I don't want to hear about people suffering and dying for worthless causes. But I'm happy that a cat gets rescued. Well, you know what? I'm not sorry that I'm happy a cat got rescued. I don't think anybody has anything to apologize for who cared enough to do something about it. I know there are a lot of people that say there are bigger things to worry about. And yes, of course there are, and there always will be. But that doesn't take anything away from the importance of the small things as well. Yeah, let's say we didn't help Molly. Let's say Molly just, eventually ran out of whatever water was behind the wall and whatever mice were running by, and that was the end of Molly. And we didn't have the news reports, and we didn't have the New York Post guy on his hands and knees with the cloth, and we didn't have the cat lady standing there for hours at a time. You didn't have me talking about it now. What would we have instead? I don't think we'd have anything else. I don't think we would have gotten anything from not caring about something that many people think is trivial. I think what we did get out of it was this warm feeling, this togetherness, this sense of community in not only New York City, but around the world. I mean, there were people there from Japanese TV, Italian TV. Everybody was there. Everybody cared. Or at least they found it was an interesting story. And maybe the feelings we got out of that are somehow translated into our lives, and we're treating our pets better, we're treating the people around us better. I don't know. I think there are things you can't really measure. But it's never right to say, this isn't important enough because there are things that are more important. I'm not going to care about this creature because there are bigger creatures in more trouble. I think you can care about all of them. And there's a parallel to this, too. You know, there are people in years past who said it's a big mistake to go to the moon when there are so many problems back home. And please, 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 don't write me with the conspiracy theories about how we didn't go to the moon, we actually landed in New Mexico or something like that. Let me live in my fantasy land, okay, where I believe we actually went to the moon. If you don't, fine. But I think we did. But there were people then who really believed that we shouldn't do this because there were so many problems back home, and we should solve those problems first. Now, just picture this. Picture we didn't go to the moon. Imagine we listened to those people. Do you think those problems would have been solved? Do you think anything would have been noticeably better? Somehow, I don't think so, and I think we wouldn't have gone to the moon, and we would have lost that. And that was magic. And I think the same thing applies any time you say, we shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this ideological thing because there are more practical things that need to be dealt with first. Let me tell you, the dreamers, the visionaries, they're the ones that make the changes. Sometimes the changes don't come overnight. But that's what drives us. That's what makes us actually move forward. And if you want to really ask that question, ask it of the military. Say, you know, if we didn't have this war, we could probably help people back home. Because then you really will see a difference with the kind of money and energy that's expended for that sort of thing. Never see that question asked in relation to this, because it's national defense. National security. Can't mess with that. But let's mess with our dreams instead. Let's mess with our caring, our humanity. Let's sacrifice that. No, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Okay, that was a tangent of all tangents. So the cat got out, and is now, hopefully the cat is not going to live in that deli, because that was the original plan, was for the cat to be the official mouser of that deli. But, you know, it's become such a celebrity. I don't see how she's going to get a moment's peace. And someone's always going to, you know, possibly break into the store at night and steal the cat. And, you know, that's more stress than any cat should have to deal with, really. So cat should go someplace else, which I think she's gone to now. Get another cat, hopefully one that doesn't go through crevices and walls. And chalk it up to an interesting story. I learned a lot about this whole thing because I was following the story. The best way to follow the story for me, anyway, was just to type the word cat into Google News and just keep hitting reload every couple of hours to find out what was going on. And you'd see stories from Saudi Arabia. You'd see stories from Japan, from the Bergen Record. Or every newspaper seems at random was chosen with the latest update. But in addition, by putting the word cat into Google News, you'd find all these other stories about cats. And I think we should start a feature here on Off the Wall called Cats in the News. Because there are so many stories involving cats. Check this one. The story from Germany. A cat saved the life of a newborn baby abandoned in the middle of the night on the doorstep of a house in the German city of Cologne by meowing loudly until someone woke up. The cat is a hero, Cologne police spokesman Uwe Bayer said. Its loud meowing got the attention of the homeowner and saved the baby from suffering life-threatening hypothermia. The homeowner opened the door to see why the cat was making so much noise and discovered the newborn. Yeah, that's quite a story. Quite a story right there. And there's more. While the immigrant might not have been illegal, it was definitely unexpected. A cat hopped aboard a semi-trailer hauling fertilizer from Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Esterhazy? Or Esterhazy, maybe. To Eldridge, North Dakota, and rode the entire way clinging to the truck's metal frame. Oh, my God. Why isn't that an illegal immigrant? Are cats free to simply come and go across the border? I mean, seriously, I'm curious. There's no restrictions whatsoever. If you were technically a cat somehow, you'd be able to. All right, well, it begs further study. I'm just going to leave it at that. Customs agents at the border alerted the driver. But get this, the driver was unable to catch the cat. I don't understand this. When the semi arrived at Mainline Agronomy in Eldridge, the cat was still attached to the frame. So the cat didn't run away. The cat was still attached to the truck, but he couldn't catch the cat. Apparently he ran to another part of the truck and bolted himself on from there, and the cat did not want to be caught, just wanted a ride. 8 hours. Unbelievable. The trip last Wednesday took about 8 hours. She had to have been awake the whole time, said mainline bookkeeper Jessica Hansen, who rescued the cat. Always takes a bookkeeper to rescue cats, you know that. She had nothing to grip with her claws because it's metal. I don't know how she kept from falling out. Well, cats are amazing creatures. They can get into traps, and they can stay in amazing positions somehow. Hansen said she and her fellow employees, who named the cat Canada, considered keeping the animal as a mascot, but decided it was too risky with all the trucks around. God knows where that cat would wind up. So they're trying to find a home for Canada. I don't want to see her deported now that they've tightened the immigration laws. She's sweet and friendly and deserves a good home. She's the sweetest illegal immigrant we've ever met. Oh, God. You know, there's a lot of sweet and friendly Mexicans. And I'll bet a fair share of them cling to trucks to get into this country. I say if there's room for cats to come across the border, there should be room for humans as well. Plenty of space. A lot of space in this country. A lot of space. A lot of things that need to be done. I'm not for tearing things down and for building every place, but, you know, how about building the new rapid speed railway system across this country? You hear about this? It's going to link Chicago with Cleveland. You can get there in about an hour. It's going to link New York with Chicago, Chicago to St. Louis. It'll be just like Europe. Lines crisscrossing the states. You won't have to fly on airplanes, deal with the airport hassle, the traffic. Just a nation of rails, and someone's got to build them. Someone's got to build those train lines. A lot of work needs to be done. And yeah, it's fantasy, unfortunately, because it hasn't happened. But imagine if it did. That's a good application of building, as opposed to what they're doing around here, where they're constantly tearing things down and putting up McMansions and mega malls and all this garbage that nobody really wants, and that winds up destroying the land around us. So you can employ people with all kinds of jobs and employ them fairly, too, and pay them a good wage. And trust me, there's room in this country for more people, as far as that kind of thing goes. We're not overcrowded. Some places we are, but other places we're not. And we need help. We desperately need help. So if you're out there in another part of the world, please, come here. Help us. Help us remember why we started this whole thing anyway. This thing we call the States. It was for the downtrodden and you know, mixing of cultures and things like that. Okay, not all of it was good. The whole melting pot idea kind of disturbs me. I prefer the patchwork idea, more like what Canada does. But we're going to forget it if we just become insular and don't welcome people from outside. Another tangent. Boy, this is Tangent City tonight. Okay, another cat story then. An admitted cat killer was sentenced Thursday to 2 years probation and 100 hours of community service at a humane center. You know, is that the smartest thing in the world to do? Listen to what this guy did. This guy, Eric Ford, of Thames, Illinois, who pleaded guilty to felony animal abuse. Abuse? He killed a cat. It's not abuse. That's killing a cat. It's a different crime, I think. He got into a fight with his now ex-girlfriend. And they picked up the woman's cat, said, "This is what I think of our love," and threw the animal against a wall. Yeah, real work of art there. So they sentenced this guy to probation and 100 hours at the Cape Girardeau Humane Society. Would you sentence a child molester to work in a daycare center? I don't think you would. This guy killed a cat. You don't sentence him to work in a humane center. How about you sentence him to work in a place where humans get thrown against walls? I don't know. I don't know what kind of place that would be. Maybe Guantanamo Bay or something. Horrible. Horrible stuff. Okay, final cat story, just to round this feature out. Honey, a 7-year-old cat, started life as the runt of her litter. I didn't know cats had runts. I thought only dogs had runts. Okay, whatever. Now she has grown so large that she can no longer squeeze through an ordinary cat flap. She has to use a bigger hole cut in the door that would be more suitable for a sizable dog. Why am I reading this? Why is this a story? This was in the Telegraph in the UK. All right. Must be something to it. The white and tortoiseshell cat weighs an astonishing... Okay, and this is a British phrase. It says 3 ST. That means 3 stones. And I'm embarrassed to say I don't know what a stone weighs. I mean, I don't know what a stone is equivalent to. I'm actually going to go to Wikipedia right now and find out if Mozilla decides to load. This Macintosh, I swear. Okay, there it is, finally. And now it's doing all sorts of crazy things. Okay, can I just go to Wikipedia without all the drama? Thank you. Do you want to update this? Do you want to go here? No, I don't want to do that. Okay, Wikipedia. Now, I'm going to type in the word stone, which is going to be kind of difficult. Look at this. It takes forever to load the page. It's a radio show. You know, we should have the fastest computers, not the ones that still run on floppy disks. Okay, stone, weight, a unit of weight equivalent to 14 pounds. Thank you. Thank you, Wikipedia, for immediately answering my question. 14 pounds. So this cat weighs 3 stones. So that's 3, 14, carry them. Wow. That's not possible. 42 pounds? Is that really possible? A cat can weigh 42 pounds? All right. Her owner, Linda Morano, believes that this cat must be the heaviest in the country. I'd say the world, maybe. The previous record holder was believed to be a cat named Sam, who weighed 2 stones, 8 pounds. That would be 36 pounds. Before he was put on a strict diet. Well, wait a minute. They use pounds. So we don't have something. We don't have something equivalent to a stone, do we? We just keep using pounds. So we get these really high numbers. So people who weigh huge amounts, like, 400 pounds, if they measured in stones, it would be much less. No, 10 stones is 140 pounds. 20 stones is 280. So say you weigh, 22, it's much better than saying you weigh 300. Okay. Another thing we can learn from. Despite her size, Huey's heart is in good shape, according to her vet. Mrs. Morano's 22-year-old daughter says that Honey does not eat a lot. She shares a tin of cat food a day with our other cat, Penny, yet she is twice the size of her. I think Penny is probably being intimidated into giving more than half. That's what I think. She is not being fed by neighbors or anything like that because she hardly goes out. She is just a big cat. She soon started to grow and grow and grow. It just happened over a period of time. We never really noticed. And by the time she reached adulthood, it was obvious she was going to be a big cat. I can't believe how much space is being taken up by this story. We take her to the vets for regular checkups, and he has looked at her heart and everything else, and he said she is absolutely fine. It's a bit of a mystery. And it goes on. That's not the end of the story. It keeps going. But get this, it turns out the heaviest cat ever recorded was from Minnesota, and why does that not surprise me? Why does that not surprise me? Do you know how many stones that cat was? 6. 6 stones. That's 84 pounds. That's not right. Is that right? Yeah, I think that is right. It's hard to multiply when you're on the air. That is something else. Okay, so that's the cat news for this week. So it was an interesting experience going over there and seeing that story unfold. And then the other earth-shattering thing that happened to me was almost dying. Well, not really almost dying, but having this weird incident happening where I was driving in my car, minding my own business, as I try to do when I drive, and it's one of these intersections where you have a left arrow, and this car is waiting while you make your left turn. You have right of way. And so I'm driving in my car. I've got the left arrow. Everything is fine. Life couldn't be better. And all of a sudden I realize, as I'm making a left turn, that this SUV is heading straight towards me, full speed. He had just decided to move. He was stopped. I was approaching, had my left turn signal on, I was moving, he had a red light, I had a green arrow, and something in his brain said to him, it's time for me to move forward. There were all these things telling him not to. All these things, car coming towards you, blinker on, red light, I'm in an SUV, I must be stupid. All that, but he ignored it all and said, no, I've got right of way and I'm moving forward and I'm gunning it. I could not believe it. Because I was already into the turn when I saw this happening. This guy was heading straight for me. I had to sort of add gas to get out of his way. I could not figure out what in God's name just happened here. And I would have loved to have caught up to the guy and asked him that question until he answered. But I couldn't make the turn quickly enough, and there was no turn on red intersection, and it wouldn't have been worth it. But I was shaking for about an hour after that. It's because I've been involved in minor bumps before, and almost all of them because somebody else was moving when I was stopped, or someone bumped into my car while it was parked, or a tree fell on my car. Those are the kinds of things I've been involved in. Never something big like that, where someone's coming at you full speed. And it would have been bad. It would have been bad if this guy had hit me. I just couldn't figure out the mentality behind this. Maybe somehow his gas pedal got stuck, but he looked totally calm, as if he does this kind of thing all the time. So, yeah, that shook me up a bit. That kind of thing really makes you think. You know, you're just driving along, and all of a sudden, one moron, and your life has changed forever. Now, you can do as much as you can to avoid it. You can try. Keep alert. Don't even go through green lights without looking around and making sure nobody else is coming. If I had been blithely just staring straight ahead and not paying attention to what was going on around me, he definitely would have hit me. So you have to always assume someone's going to do something stupid around you. And hopefully, that's enough to get you out of the situation. But it's not always. It's not always enough. So, yeah, that's another thing. Another thing that makes you appreciate life a little more. Near death. All right. So that was a bit of fun. Please, people, phone lines are dead. And I got to say, you know, I'm babbling on here, but it's really important to keep this place here, or I won't be able to do that anymore. We're making progress. We have all sorts of things happening here. We've got the delay machine. We'll be able to take phone calls again. We have all sorts of other programming on the air, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you get this late, there's a phone call. Thank you so much for calling. 631-632-9872. If you get this after this show is off the air, call anyway. And if you can't make the pledge then, if it's after hours and no one's around, email. Email works. Basically, what you do is you go to the website, WUSB.FM, follow the links for supporting the radio station, and you get all the instructions there. No one's going to ask you to email your credit card. Don't worry about that, because that would be insecure, and we realize that. But it'll probably involve a phone conversation at some point along the way. And eventually we'll have an online forum that's nice and secure that we can do this seamlessly. If you listen to both radio shows, this station is very different than the other station. The other station is in the middle of New York City, 50,000 watts. We're here on Long Island, where people are basically just learning about the world. You know, we just are sort of crawling out of our mud huts along the side of the road there. And, you know, it's a lower budget, much lower budget, much smaller audience, less power. But the things we can do here are incredible. The things we can do with this radio station are amazing. And you can play a part in that. And now that we're able to reach the world, we're able to reach the entire planet through the miracle of the Internet, the size doesn't really matter anymore, does it? So our entire goal for, I think, the year is something like $50,000, which is a day, if not less than that at the other radio station. So it's a big difference. That means your contributions mean a lot more here. And we have all sorts of things. We have a WUSB sweatshirt, WUSB t-shirts, the WUSB mugs and hats. We have all sorts of special CDs. We have Democracy Now! Premiums of all sorts with the coffee grinds and the coffee mugs. But the real reason to call, the real important reason, is because you want this place to continue. You want to invest in non-commercial radio, a dying breed, something that keeps getting taken over by outside interests. And we are not immune. We are not immune by any means. All sorts of things can happen. So keep that in mind, please. 631-632-9872. And let's take a look at some listener mail, because we didn't do that last time. And it's important. It's very important to keep up to date with what the listeners are saying. Where shall we start? We have so much mail. Our email address, by the way, is otw@2600.com. OTW, of course, stands for Off the Wall. You can listen to back issues, if they're called that, of Off the Wall, by going to www.2600.com/off the wall. Go back to our very beginnings in 2003. Good morning, Emmanuel. Well, it's not morning anymore. Last week you discussed how you got the smart car in the U.S., actually it was a few weeks ago. I am thinking of doing the same when my car decides that its existence is better served as scrap than transportation. I live in South Florida, and this phallic state has a mandatory auto insurance law. How would you propose getting around this little problem? I also would like to know what you would do if the car needed repairs. Signed, Phil. Well, Phil, okay, that's interesting questions there. First of all, the car I have is insured. It's insured in Canada. And it's insured through the legal owner of the car, who is a Canadian. That's really the only way to import the car from Canada at this point in time, to have somebody in Canada who you trust own the car and lend it to you. The car is insured through them, and you're insured as a driver on your side through your insurance company. And that's how it works. Now, as for repairs, that's a tricky thing right now. You might try your Mercedes dealer, ask them if they can do this kind of thing. They're starting to retrofit American cars. There's a company in California called Zap that's doing it. You might have seen them on the news recently because of the New York Auto Show. They drove a car across country. But they also paint the word Zap on the side of it. I'm not too happy about that. And they raise the price considerably. And it's a gas version, too, whereas the one in Canada is a diesel version. And I think you get a little more power from that. So we're still not quite at the stage we should be in this country for these cars. But I'm at the point now where I'm at getting the first service done. I'll let you know how that goes. Hopefully we can figure that out stateside without having to drive it back over the border. Okay, what else? So much mail. Okay. I'm going to skip that one. Ah, yes. Are you going to tell me and the other interested listeners who composed / recorded the Off the Wall theme tune? Well, we do that occasionally. That's from The Anomaly. It's Phil Glass. And it's from that film I can never pronounce. Maybe I'll ask Wikipedia for help on this, too. Let's see. I'll type in the word that I do know how to pronounce. And hopefully that'll lead me to the one that I can't pronounce. You see, it's part of a soundtrack. Oh, it's not there. That's too bad. It's part of a soundtrack, and this is the third installation of the soundtrack. Now, for the old Brain Damage show many years ago, we used the soundtrack for the movie Powakatsi, which was the second in the series. And this is the third in the series. And it begins with an N. I just don't want to pronounce it wrong. I'm looking at his discography right now, and he has so much material and not anything that... Okay, how about over here? We're going to go to Internet Movie Database. I think they might be able to be more helpful there. Boy, he's involved in a lot of movies, too. There we go. Nagoikatsi, I think that's how you say it. Nagoikatsi. All right, so if you type that in someplace, you'll find the soundtrack. And that's how you're able to... there's no pronunciation guide to this anywhere. I've never seen that film. I'd love to see that film. It's the third in the series, as I said, and was made in 2002. A visual montage portrait of our contemporary world dominated by globalized technology and violence. And it's... Nagakatsu means life as war. So it should be rather interesting. Number of people wrote in wanting to know what the hell that song was I played 2 weeks ago. The Pink Floyd song. That was Pigs on the Wing, but not the one you heard on the album. You know how on Animals it starts off with Pigs on the Wing Part 1? And then the whole album happens, and then at the end of side two, of course I'm talking about the vinyl, you hear Pigs on the Wing Part 2. Nice little acoustic guitar piece. Well, turns out that there's another version. Yeah, this is a song. This is what you're used to hearing. Get Roger Waters. Sing his little ballad here.
If you didn't care.
And that's how the album begins. But in the middle is this amazing guitar solo.
What happened to me?
That I had never heard before. And it was only available on the 8-track version of Animals. Now, how many people have the 8-track version of Animals? How many people have 8-tracks in the first place? Nobody.
For you.
And I only found this out because I was reading a Sopranos news group on Usenet. If you ever read news groups on Usenet, it's a lot of fun. And apparently they played a Pink Floyd song as the outro for that show a few weeks ago, and somebody mentioned how they had just remembered listening to this version with the guitar solo in the middle of it that only appeared on 8-track. And somebody said, yeah, that was by Snowy White. And the guy took umbrage, and I took umbrage too, because it looked like he was being insulted. Yeah, Snowy White, in your dreams. And the guy responded and said, what do you gotta be so critical for? I was telling you the truth. And it turns out, the guy replied, said, no, I wasn't being critical. The guitarist's name is Snowy White. And this is what you're hearing right now. A blues guitarist named Snowy White did this. And if I was Snowy White, I'd be a little upset at doing all this hard work. And it is hard work to do a guitar solo like this. Only to have it show up on the 8-track version and no place else.
You know that I care.
And then it goes back into part two. Isn't that amazing? And I was able to find this on the internet because you can't find it anyplace else. This isn't for sale. This isn't part of an album or anything like that. And I discovered something. All right, enough, Roger. We get the point. I discovered that there are these Russian MP3 sites. I mean, I've always known they're out there, but they really serve a purpose in cases like this, where you're looking for things that are unobtainable in any other way. And I discovered that there is this incredible, incredible Pink Floyd bootleg montage, everything ever released that is not available anymore, called The Secret Life of Trees. It's 18 discs. 18 discs. I discovered all this simply by looking into this one song that somebody mentioned on a Sopranos news group. It gets pretty contentious in that news group, by the way. There's all sorts of fights going on, and serious fights. I guess it's the nature of the discussion. But it led me to all this, and I found this Russian site that had MP3s. And for something like 3 cents a song, I was able to download the entire thing. The only other choice I had to get this album, this 18-disc compilation, was to pay some guy on eBay something close to $200 for the entire set. As it turns out, I only paid about maybe $30 or $40 by downloading it. And it made me think. First of all, I had no trouble doing this, no trouble in my mind doing this, because I don't consider it piracy. I would never do this for an album that I would ordinarily buy, because I do believe that you should buy albums that you want to buy. But for things that aren't available, things that don't exist, it's very different. And I just was wondering, if commercial music was marketed this way, I would be buying so much more commercial music. Because downloading something for 99 cents, like it is now, is simply insane. Because you're not getting the album. You're paying the same amount, basically. Let's say an album has 10 songs on it. And most of them have more than that. Most of them have 15 songs these days. CDs? And I don't think it distinguishes between how long the song is. If somebody puts out a 3-second song, hey, that's 99 cents. Sorry. Didn't the Residents put out an album with 40 songs on it, and that was on vinyl? It's a good chunk of change there. And then again, you could do the other thing and have a whole album of one song, and the whole thing costs 99 cents. I don't think that happens very often, does it? The point is, you're not getting the same thing. Because you can't sell that again. It's not a secondhand piece of work. It's not either a piece of vinyl or a CD. You downloaded it. That's it. So, yeah, if it was less, if it was a lot less, I could actually accept the copy restrictions or whatever rules they put into place. Because if you're paying 3 cents a song instead of 99 cents a song, you know you're not getting the same thing that you would get if you were buying a CD. You're just getting a copy of a song. Yeah, digital copy, but still, it's a copy. It's not the same thing as having the product that is being marketed. And if the money is going to the same people anyway, they're not producing something physical, so there's less expense for them. I just think it works out, and I think more people would buy a lot more music if that were the case. So, no, I had no trouble doing that. I was able to find, get this. You'll never guess who this is. No, it's not who you think it is. That's actually David Gilmour. Yeah, this was on an 18-disc thing. You cannot get this. This is from a band called Joker's Wild, a mid-1960s rock band from Cambridge, England, with guitarist David Gilmour, who went on to join Pink Floyd, along with saxophonist Dick Parry and bassist Willie Watson. And their only releases were a privately pressed single-sided LP and single, of which only 50 copies were made, a tape recording of the LP is held by the British Library's National Sound Archive. And in June of 2005, in a very historical moment, a copy of the LP was sold on eBay. And apparently this is a copy of that. Amazing! You can't buy this anyplace. So, you know, how is it any harm to anybody to pay some Russian company 3 cents to give you an MP3. So yeah, I think there are very legitimate uses for this kind of thing, and the record company should wake up so that they can take advantage of them. Okay, we're running out of time, so let me see if I can tear through a couple more letters. There are so many things I want to talk about tonight, too. I spent most of talking about the damn cat, didn't I? Okay, that's about guns. There's not enough time to talk about that, but we will talk about that in weeks to come. You're off the wall. Nice touch on the webpage for April Fool's Day. Well, it wasn't an off-the-wall webpage. It was a 2600 webpage, but thanks nonetheless. What did we do? For April Fool's this year, we had this kind of retro page. And it looks sort of like a Google page. I'm trying to get to it now, but it's, our machine is so slow. You know, if you double-click on something, but you actually are clicking three times, but you don't realize it until 5 seconds later when the field sort of unhighlights. It's very, very frustrating. I think there's all sorts of spyware in this machine. And now it's going to the wrong place. Okay. Boy, this is like working in slow motion here. It really is. Okay, I'm going to try this one more time, and then I'm going to give up. But I think you can still access it if you type the following URL. No, it's not. And that's not what I typed either. What's going on here? Oh my God, this thing is so slow. Okay, I'm going to try one more thing, and then I'm really giving up. Nope. Okay. I'll get that information for you in the future. Those of you who really are able to explore the net will find our April Fool's page. But it was kind of like old copies of various historical web pages, including a couple of ours. And that went up for all of April 1st. But thanks for noticing. We always try to do something every year. Always a bit of fun. Okay, and what else? Somehow I misplaced the letters, too. It's the heat. You know, the heat is what's doing it. Okay, that's on assault weapons. Now, we don't have time to get into that. What was the Spanish-sounding song that what you closed with last week? Yeah, what was that exactly? That was Manu Chao, was it? I think, and a song about the disappeared. I don't have it in front of me, I'm sorry. But Manu Chao, M-A-N-U-C-H-A-O, I believe. Some awesome material there. I was listening to Off the Wall and heard a discussion about immigration with Amy Goodman last week. I was wondering, why is it so hard to get the proper paperwork to enter the United States legally? I'm all against this immigration law, and I'm impressed with the way these people are protesting, but I'm half Mexican, and my family came here legally. That was some time ago. But I'd like to know why it's so hard to enter legally. Well, I'd like to know why, too. And that was from Nico. I'd like to know. Maybe we have listeners in Mexico that can tell us exactly what they face when they have to get into this country. Or we can do a little bit of research and see just what the requirements are, how many people try to get in versus how many people actually get in. See if there are any kind of quotas. See if Canadians have the same kind of problems. All I know is all these people wouldn't be trying to get into this country illegally if it were possible to do it legally. And why it isn't possible to do it legally is something I really have trouble understanding. Okay, this final bit of news, and then we're out of here. Veteran singer Neil Young has recorded an anti-war protest album on which he reportedly lashes out at George W. Bush in a song called Impeach the President. Yeah, the Canadian star has described living with war as metal folk protest. The title track includes lyrics such as, "On the flat screen we kill and we're killed again, and when the night falls I pray for peace." On the title track, he sings, "In the mosques and the doors of the old museum, I take a holy vow to never kill again. Try to remember peace. The rocket's red glare, bombs bursting in the air, give proof through the night that our flag is still there." Interesting. When we get that album, we're going to play it here on Off the Wall. And we'll see you again next week. OTW at 2600.com. Please keep the phone lines ringing with pledges of support, 631-632-9872. See you next time.
Like Simon on the mountain, says the Dharma got the bomb. Hellfire and brimstone, swap for oil and guns. When we're pushing up daisies, we all look the same.
Hi, this is Alvin Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.